Good evening, everybody. It's a great pleasure for me to be among you in Britain, a country with great reputation for free speech and religious liberty. But I'm very concerned about a new law being proposed by your government. I can tell you from my own personal experience that the plans for incitement of religious hatred offense are very dangerous to free speech and freedom of religion. Since 2001, we have had similar laws in the state of Victoria in Australia. These laws were used against me by well-organized Muslim group after I criticized the teaching of Quran and Hadith in light of Muhammad, how Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, practiced his own teaching. And that's what fundamentalist Muslims do. And that was conducted, the seminar was conducted in a Christian church. Although my teaching was based on the real teaching of Quran and Hadith and life of Muhammad, I delivered it in a calm, reasonable, and based on my considerable knowledge of Islam and experience. And although these comments are made in a setting of Christian religious meeting, I was found guilty under these laws. If such laws can find someone, me, guilty of vilifying Islam, they can catch anyone for criticism of religion. Let me tell you what happened. On 9th of March 2002, I gave seminar in a church in Melbourne. The aim was to help Christians understand the Muslim faith. As you can see, it was just after a few months after September 11. People need to know that why fundamentalist Muslims are doing it. What is teaching of the Quran and Hadith on these subjects? And I was also teaching how Allah teaches concerning women in Quran and Hadith and other areas like how to answer questions that Muslim people ask you. You are sharing gospel with them. I was teaching how to learn about Islamic culture and so on. So they were broad areas of subject which was covered in 6 hours of my speech. Now you can read that all material, by the way, on website which Neil Anderson has put on. So I have done many such seminars in churches throughout Australia and all over the world. The reason that I speak on this subject is because of my particular experience and knowledge. I was born in Pakistan in 1951. My parents were Christian. I grew up in Pakistan, a country which is predominantly Muslim, whose culture is Islamic. In Pakistan, we are taught Islam from KG, from kindergarten. So we start learning about Islam from very young age, and that carries on till university. I became lecturer in mathematics at FC College under Punjab University. In Pakistan, it is not easy for Christians to be lecturer at a very high position. Like out of millions of Christians, government said there are 4 million Christians in Pakistan, Christians claim to be 10 million in Pakistan, but out of those million, there were only 2 Christian mathematicians who were teaching at university level. It's a very highly discriminative society. One reason how government discriminates is they interview you, and part of the interview, part of the exam is your knowledge on Islam. So if you do not do well in Islamic study, then you are no good to be a lecturer at that high level. Or if you are a heart specialist, you are not good to be surgeon in hospital, in government hospital, at very high level. if you don't do well in Islamic study. But I thank God, when I was interviewed, I got 100% marks in Islamic study, and I got first position in the merit list by God's grace. So, in 1986, Pakistani law was changed. The law of blasphemy used to be 295B, which has 5-year jail sentence, but it was changed to 295C, which carries death sentence or life imprisonment. When that law was introduced, I was the first one to be caught by that law, because I was and I am zealous to share gospel with people. I am not ashamed of gospel. I was forced to convert to Islam. It was an inquiry council, 5 senior professors. They forced me to become Muslim. And I said that if you want me to become Muslim, tell me who is savior in Islam. And one professor said, Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, he will save you. I told, Quran says, Surah 46, verse 9, that Muhammad said, I do not know what will happen to me, and I do not know what will happen to you. So I said, your prophet is making very clear, he did not know where he is going. How he can save me? You can be sure of your salvation if you consider Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. They were, of course, very upset. So case was filed against me. Shortly after this law was introduced, I was the first to be caught by that. And then, as a result of the case against me, there were several thousand students equipped with pistols and daggers. They were searching for me. And I went in hiding, and finally I left Pakistan. I went to Australia, and I have never been back to my homeland for the last 18 years because of that case against me. So when I give seminar to Christians about the teaching of Islam, and when I talk about the dangers of fundamentalist Islamic teaching according Quran and Hadith and Sharia law, I know what I'm talking about. I also make it clear in my seminars that not all Muslims know what is the real teaching of Quran and Hadith in detail, as many Christians don't know what is the teaching of Lord Jesus Christ. Most Muslims don't know in detail the full teaching, and they are peaceful, friendly people. But I believe it is important that people are aware of the implications of full teaching of Islam. Now, when people don't know that, the full teaching, then people blindly become Muslim without knowing what they are getting into. And your neighboring country, France, 50,000 French are becoming Muslim every year without knowing what's in there. So, I know in my seminar, I express the teaching of Islam which Muslims don't want people to know. So that people should be aware of what Allah says about jihad, about women, and other matters. Now, these criticisms of Islam, they are not unique to me. They are mainstream international concerns. On 9th of March 2002, I was giving my usual seminar to a group of Christians in a church, as I mentioned earlier. Unknown to me, 3 Muslim converts were among the audience. They had been encouraged to attend by Muslim who is a member of the Islamic Council of Victoria. Also, she works for Equal Opportunity Commission of Victoria, a government body. The 3 Muslim converts made notes of the seminar, which formed the basis of complaint that my seminar has vilified their faith. I ended up in court. I was offered compromise that if I apologize and I promise that I will never teach it again, there will be no case. And I said, I'm Christian. If I'm wrong, I must apologize. So please tell me where I'm wrong. They could not point out anything. So I said, sir, you're asking me, sir, I should apologize because I made public the teaching of Quran and Hadith. I said, that's not fair demand. That's intellectual terrorism. We are saying, don't read that verse. We don't like people to know that. So the case started, and now it's fourth year, and June 2005, I was found guilty. The case has cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. The cost would have been much higher, but most of the legal work was done for free by a small Christian legal firm there. I was found guilty of vilifying Islam, but I believe I'm innocent of such a thing. All I did was to state my well-founded beliefs about the dangers of fundamentalist Islam based on the teaching of Quran and Hadith in light of life of Muhammad and Sharia law. The case has caused me great deal of alarm and distress. Under the law, I was charged with any statement made for any genuine religious purpose by a person acting reasonably and in good faith are exempt from vilification offense. But despite my extensive knowledge and experience of Islam, and despite the fact that my seminar was for Christians in a church, the judge dismissed this exemption. By the way, I understand there is no such exemption planned by the UK government for its incitement of religious hatred law. In Australia, this law is civil law with civil penalties. The court has ordered me to place 4 advertisements in Victorian newspapers carrying a statement bearing my name but written by the Islamic Council of Victoria. These statements say, among other things, that I have vilified all Muslims. It says I presented the seminar in a way that was essentially hostile, demeaning, and derogatory of all Muslim people, their God, their Prophet Muhammad, and in general Muslim belief and practices. Because I made very clear in my seminar that God of Bible is totally opposite to the God of Islam. They are diametrically opposite. And ignorant Christian, really, I will say, insult God of the Bible when they say same God. Both gods are diametrically opposite to each other. And so Muslims said that I have demeaned their God because I'm saying this different God than God of the Bible. And I did prove that in the court. They are different. The cost of placing the advertisement would be about $70,000. The court has also ordered me to give an undertaking not to make any similar criticism of fundamentals of Islam anywhere in Australia at any time in the future. If the court could show me where I have been inaccurate or untruthful, I would apologize for that. But everything I said was accurate concerning the teaching of Quran and Hadith and life of Muhammad. In all good conscience, I cannot apologize for telling what I believe is the truth. Nor can I keep silent about teaching of the fundamentals of Islam according to their holy books. I cannot say I was wrong when I believe I was right. I cannot do what the court is asking me. As a result of this, I may be found in contempt of court. This offense carries a possible prison sentence. I do not want to go to prison, but that may be the price I have to pay. But I will not say that my teaching was wrong, and I will not stop speaking the truth about the dangers of fundamentalist Islam. I thank God. I am of the opinion that we should stand firm and not swing away with the pressure. As I mentioned earlier, in Pakistan, when more than 5,000 students, they want to kill me, I did not renounce my faith. When I went to Australia, Australian immigration was very much under influence of Islam, and my wife and children has to wait for 2.5 years. I was offered compromise. If I become Muslim, my wife and children will be in Australia within 1 week. On the other hand, if I would have paid bribe in Pakistan to Australian embassy, they would have given visa to my wife and children. But I don't compromise. You don't compromise under pressure. This is something we need to learn. Stand up for values. That will honor God. That will advance God's kingdom. I understand the offense proposed by UK government is of criminal offense, punishable by a maximum sentence of 7 years in prison. This proposed law frightens me because I know what it could do. I believe there are two things about my case which people should worry about. First, people should worry that fair comments and criticism about religion can so easily lead to a legal action under such a law. Second, people should worry that a well-organized minority religious group who knows how the legal system works can bring litigation to silence any criticism of its belief. I have no doubt that if the religious vilification law did not exist in Victoria, those three Muslim converts would never have been sent to my seminar. I also have come to know from reliable source that some Islamic government are already encouraging Muslims, once the law is through, you sue the churches and we will fund it. There may be some people who do not agree with my criticism of Islam, although there are many who do agree. But that's not the point here. The point is, I should be free to argue my views, and I should be particularly free to do so in religious meeting. What if you want to criticize Islam or Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism? I believe you should be free to do so. I believe you should be free to do so without fear of being hurled before the courts. I am a man who had to flee for my life from effects of Islam. I have studied Islamic religion, Islamic religious history, and its holy books, not for a fortnight, but over 40 years. I am an ordained Christian minister who spoke calmly and reasonably of my concerns about the teaching of the Holy Quran and Hadith and how Muhammad used to practice it to a Christian group in a Christian church. And in doing so, I have suffered a lengthy and costly legal action and been found guilty of vilifying Islam. I faced the possibility of going to prison. If it happened to me, it could happen to you. Having been in fear of my life because of my Christian faith, I know how precious freedom of speech and religious liberty is. It is too precious to throw away in misguided attempt to protect religion. An incitement of religious hatred offense will damage free speech and stir up religious groups to bring litigation against each other. If my story says anything, it says drop the proposal.